And please be seated. Our gospel lesson is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. As we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to Luke, and where we find these blessed words of our loving Savior. Luke, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, to you we confess once again, all hearts are open. All desires are known. Even as we look into your gospel, for which we give you thanks, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit to cleanse our hearts, especially from the leaven of the Pharisees, that we might truly meet with you, and that we might more perfectly love you, and more worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, at this point in Luke's account of the life and ministry of our Lord, Jesus had just finished dining at the house of one of the Pharisees. And in that very interesting dining experience, he had engaged with the Pharisees and their scribes, their teachers of the law of Moses, and called them out for their various foibles regarding faith and practice. And he called them out for their teaching, which was leading other people astray, that is, away from God in a real, vital, life-giving relationship with God. Now, having left the Pharisees' home after a most interesting dinner party, the crowds were trampling each other. Black Friday. The crowds rushing in Best Buy or Walmart. That's the kind of thing people were wanting to get near Jesus. This is the days before live stream and the days before digital or electronic amplification. So if you wanted to see Jesus, you had to go to where Jesus was. If you wanted to hear Jesus, you got to get pretty close to where Jesus was. But in the midst of that chaos, Jesus was undeterred. He was calm, like the sea that he calmed around him. A tempestuous sea, Jesus, though, he is shalom. We sang about that earlier. Jesus is shalom. Jesus is peace. Come to us in the flesh, God's peace. Jesus is at peace with the Father in the Spirit. So he's undeterred in the midst of that Black Friday chaos all around him. He speaks words of wisdom to his disciples. Not just the 12, but to the many faithful followers that he had at this time. So here in Luke's gospel, you see the transition that Jesus goes from speaking to the Pharisees on their own turf, speaking to his disciples about the Pharisees, warning them about the perils of Pharisaic religion, legalistic religion. In other words, works righteousness religion, where you actually believe that you can do good works by comparison to other people in order to gain favor with God. And where you add to God's word your own traditions and your own opinions, and you substitute God's word with those opinions, with those traditions, and you look down upon those who don't follow them or appear to follow them as closely as you do. Jesus was warning the disciples of the perils of Pharisaic religion and instruction. Specifically here, as we read, he told his followers to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. So let's consider his words and how they apply to our lives today under two headings. First, leaven in the Scriptures. And second, the leaven of the Pharisees. First, leaven in the Scriptures. Now, you may be saying, that doesn't sound very exciting. Well, bear with me. It's actually pretty interesting, and it's certainly instructive to consider this theme of leaven in Holy Scripture. Leaven, as you know, is a substance like yeast that causes fermentation and expansion of dough and or batter. And in Scripture, it is used synonymously with yeast. It's what makes bread rise. That's about all I know about the actual technicalities of leaven right there. And the connection the Jewish people had with leaven, or the lack thereof, went all the way back to the Exodus story, which Mark read to us earlier from Exodus chapter 12. The Exodus, the deliverance of the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. The Passover meal and the feast of unleavened bread celebrated that Exodus, that God wrought Exodus of the people from their bondage in Egypt. As we read, the Passover lamb, which they would eat, would remind them of the blood of the lamb, which had been smeared on the door frame of their homes and through which they were saved from that final plague in Egypt. The bitter herbs of the Passover meal would remind them of the bitterness of the bondage of Pharaoh, the bitterness of slavery under his oppressive yoke. It was meant to remind them, you don't want to go back into slavery. You want to be a free people. You want to be free to know and worship the true and living God. And the unleavened bread would remind them of the way they had to leave Egypt in haste, with their belts fastened and their sandals on their feet, and their staffs in their hand, and without time for leavened bread to rise. So for that meal and that week-long festival, the people of God in the Old Testament did not eat leavened bread. They were forbidden to do so during the feast and festival in order to ingrain in their memory on an annual basis, and to ingrain in their religious consciousness the gracious, powerful deliverance God had brought about for them in Egypt. In addition to that, leaven for the Hebrew people came to represent any powerful yet subtle force that affects everything around it. That's what leaven does. It's a subtle yet powerful force that affects everything around it. And interestingly, in Scripture, leaven is in some places used as a negative powerful force that affects everything around it. Sometimes it's used as a positive force that affects everything around it. Sort of like the serpent. In Scripture, typically the serpent is associated with a bad thing, Satan himself. But in the wilderness, Moses held up a bronze serpent. When real serpents were killing the Israelites, Moses held up a bronze serpent. And if they looked to that bronze serpent, they would be healed and live. And Jesus compared that bronze serpent to himself. And him being lifted up on the cross. And when people look to Jesus, they would be healed of sin and live. And Jesus called us to be wise as serpents. So sometimes the serpent used as a negative image. Sometimes the serpent uses even a positive image. So it is with the leaven. Often in Scripture, leaven is used to represent a corrupting force, as in Jesus' words here about the leaven of the Pharisees in our call to worship from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Leaven was associated with malice and evil and the corrupting force that those can be in a person's heart. And if it's not dealt with, it can spread out in a negative way into the lives of others. In Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul warned the Galatians to keep the gospel of God's free salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, to keep the gospel that he had preached to them pure from a little legalism here and a little legalism there, because he said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So in Scripture, leaven could symbolize a negative influence that sinful thoughts, attitudes, words, actions, legalistic teachings could have in a person's life or in the life of the family of God. But leaven is also used in Scripture to symbolize a positive influence that spreads out and affects everything around it. In his parable of the mustard seed and the leaven, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, to a tiny mustard seed and a little leaven. And how those little things can be powerful yet subtle forces which over time affect everything around them. In the case of the leaven, in Jesus' parable, a woman had a pinch of leaven, and she hid that pinch of leaven in about 50 pounds of flour. And that little bit of leaven, imperceptible at first, caused the whole mass of dough to rise, such that it could feed hundreds of people. Jesus was saying that his kingdom was going to be like that. It would start out small and seemingly insignificant. First to a handful of fishermen, and then a few other disciples, and then some faithful women who had come to know Jesus and his grace, women like Mary Magdalene. It would be easily dismissed at first, this ragtag group of Jesus' followers. But like yeast in the dough, Christ's presence by his Spirit in their lives, Christ's rule in their hearts, his grace working in them and through them would be active. And it would spread out, permeating and transforming the world around them. And of course, the kingdom of Jesus is still spreading every day. It is spread to us, and it spreads through us as we yield our lives to Jesus and the influence of his grace. And this positive connotation of leaven used by Jesus himself to represent really Christ himself and his influence, the influence of his kingdom in our lives, is one of the reasons why we don't make a big deal in our tradition about using unleavened bread in the Lord's Supper. Some traditions do, and we respect them for that. We understand where they are coming from for sure. But the bread of the Lord's Supper, we believe, is not about leaven or unleavened bread. It does not represent Israel leaving Egypt in haste. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. The bread of the new covenant, in which unleavened bread is no longer given as a requirement. So we believe there's liberty in that. So, in the first place, a little leaven. A little bit of leaven. A little bit of what the scriptures have to say. Thank you for laughing over here. A little bit of leaven about what the scriptures have to say about that. In the second place, the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. Obviously here, not a good connotation that Jesus, he wouldn't even need to explain what he's talking about when he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. This is bad. This is a bad connotation here. What was the powerful yet subtle force at work in the Pharisees that affected everyone around them? Remember, Jesus spoke in our passage last week, you know, what are the Pharisees? What are the scribes? It's like people coming into contact with you. It's like when a Jew would walk over an unmarked grave, they would unknowingly become spiritually unclean, ceremonially unclean, walking over an unmarked grave. Following the religion of the Pharisees, they were becoming spiritually unclean. They were becoming more prideful, more arrogant than they were before they came across the teaching of the Pharisees. So what was this subtle yet powerful force at work in and through the Pharisees? Well, here Jesus said that it was the leaven of hypocrisy. Elsewhere he said that it was the leaven of their teaching, which is closely connected. Their teaching encouraged hypocrisy in themselves and those who listened to them. What is hypocrisy? Literally, here from the Greek, it is play acting. In the Greco-Roman theater, actors wore masks. They would play several parts in a play by switching out the mask that they were wearing. And so here in the Greek, it's wearing a mask. It's pretending to be someone that you are not. Someone other than yourself. The Pharisees were play-acting in the sense that they portrayed themselves as virtuous, caring, conscientious about all things God and Israel. But in reality, they were simply about themselves. They were about power, prestige, and control. They were about appearing righteous, more righteous than their fellows, while their hearts were far from God. Jesus called that hypocrisy. And all their rules helped them do that. They could keep up or appear to keep up all their Sabbath rules and all the technicalities of their tithing rules and washing rules and worship rules in such a way as to impress others and gain their following while having no real contact with the true and living God. That's why they loved all their little rules and elaborate theological conversations. They made them, the Pharisees, look virtuous and sound spiritual, while their hearts could meanwhile be untouched by God and His Spirit. Their hearts could remain insulated from the transforming power of God's grace in Jesus. Their rules and their theology actually helped form a barrier between them and God, and indeed a barrier between them and others, because they kept them from asking God to deal with their hearts and change their hearts so that they might love others as He has demonstrated His love to us in the gift of His Son. They could keep all their rules while hanging on to hatred in their hearts, bitterness in their hearts, pride in their hearts, unforgiveness, grudges, all the rest in their hearts. They can keep all the externals. They can check all the theological boxes. Because for them, it made no difference in their lives. Jesus said, for this reason, they were hypocrites. Now, how was their hypocrisy like leaven? How is hypocrisy like this, this Pharisaic religious hypocrisy, how is it like leaven? What makes it powerful in the influence of others? Well, it can be attractive to our flesh. Because such rule-keeping creates an us versus them dynamic in which we can feel theologically or morally superior to others who aren't in the know or up to snuff. So Jesus said, beware of it. Paul would later repeat that to the Galatians, for example. Beware of it. And have nothing to do with forms of religion that puff you up rather than really dealing with your heart and cultivating humility in you, a humble confidence in Jesus. Jesus said that hypocrisy is not only bad for your soul, it is ultimately futile. It's a losing, it's a game in which you will ultimately be the loser. It is futile. Why? Well, he said, because everything that is hidden will be revealed. Hypocrisy, unrepented of, will be exposed in this life or in the life to come. Thus, it is so much better and more peaceful to be honest rather than trying to be impressive. So let us come to Jesus even now, confessing our pride, confessing our hypocrisy, confessing our tendency to compare ourselves to others and thereby trust in ourselves and look down on others. Let us come with the open hands of humble repentance and faith to receive the grace, the heart-penetrating, heart-changing grace. Even as the bread and the cup, the fruit of the vine come into our bodies, may we receive these by grace, that the heart-penetrating, heart-changing grace of Jesus may really come in and change our hearts and our lives to look more like His. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.